It's turtles now instead of chickens.
Yeah, it's turtles instead of...
Welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast. I'm Bobby.
I'm Nick.
And I just wrapped up Movies on the DL with Bobby. That was pretty fun.
Yep. Second episode in the can, releasing soon. We don't have an official website for that, but we'll let you know. It's going to be on Libsyn, so we'll let you know where that's at, where you can get it in March when it comes out.
We got a whole master plan unfolding in front of you guys. You don't even know. Your earbuds aren't ready.
Yeah. And it looks like every Saturday night, something is happening on the DL Gaming Discord server. It's been pretty active in general, but specifically on Saturday, we're doing movie nights 1 week and then gaming nights the other week. I don't know if that's going to keep up, then movies will, but it's Saturday, it's the place to be.
Yeah, Sam and I jumped in there. You know what's fun about that is like, Sam is my girlfriend, Samantha. It doesn't matter if you're a gamer or not gamer. Like a lot of the times it's Jackbox games. So you just plop them down in front of the screen with you, and she played on my phone, her phone. I played on my second screen, and it was fine. Like, we were having a great time. I had a spit take. I spit on the floor laughing. Mm-hmm. I forgot what it was, but it was hilarious.
Yep, and on top of that, we have new merchandise up in our store. Now, you can check this out. Yeah, it's been a long time. We've been neglecting it a little bit. You can go to dlgaming.net, click on merch, and that'll take you to our Tee Public store with all our designs. And we just added a new one specifically for Movies on the DL, and that's our little logo, our mascot, Poppy, the popcorn.
Pop, pop.
And he looks great, I gotta say. And I realized this when I was updating our store. They now have masks available on Tee Public. So you can get a mask with DLG or Poppy or whatever you want on there. Also, stickers. The stickers look great. All sorts of merch on that site.
Yep.
Check it out. And we got some new patrons too. Now we've got the renewal coming up this year. So if you are at the $10 tier for 3 months, you get a free shirt. Or if you upgrade to that, but we want to give a quick shout out to some new patrons. We got David. Thank you very much. And also Tom upgrading his patronage.
Sounds like we're making names up. Yeah, totally a guy named Dave and totally a guy named Tom. Yeah. Totally signed up, guys. There's also a John and a Bill.
Not a lot of Bills anymore.
Normal white guy names.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, sometimes we see their real names. Sometimes we see their screen names.
So, yeah, depends on how they sign up.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're doing some new things on Patreon too. So a lot of things going on.
A lot of things happening over here at DLG. And also outside of DLG, BlizzCon happened. We all forgot about that, right?
I didn't even know, dude. I was like, dude, you have a lot of things on the radar. Like, what the fuck is going on? And he's like, BlizzCon. I was like, it happened?
Well, let's get into our on the radar section where we talk about games that are coming out or that we want to play. BlizzCon was postponed this year, and it was online only, and it was free. So they had quite a bit of stuff on there, too. I was like, what are they possibly going to announce? They already made some big announcements last year. They're just working on some really big projects, but they did have a few things. First one, the Blizzard Arcade Collection. Now, this isn't going to get anyone very excited, but this is a collection of games that you actually could get on Blizzard's site before, but now they are repackaging them in their own kind of like emulator, I suppose. These are very old games. The Lost Vikings, Rock and Roll Racing, and Blackthorn. They probably don't run too well on newer systems, so they're going to... You know when they repackage these games, like the Disney Afternoon Collection or something, and they basically make like an emulator with like a built-in menu and screen and everything. So it's going to look nice, I suppose, but it's basically these three games that you're getting.
It's what GOG does with all games, basically, right?
Is that how they get them to work? Not really.
No?
They don't put this much work in there, but they will do things to make sure that it runs well on your system. Mm. But I don't know, this one might be a little more packaged, I guess. Gotcha. It's the best way to put it. These are actually still pretty good games. But again, I don't think anybody's going to be like, oh my God, this is what we're waiting for, losing my mind. The other thing is Overwatch 2. And I was kind of cynical about this before. I was like, Overwatch 2, what are they possibly going to do? Sounds more like an expansion. They talked about single-player content. This is the first time that they've really outlined details of what's going to be in Overwatch 2. And they said a few times during the presentation, I think, that this could all change, you know, because they're still in development.
Yeah.
So I'm sure this is probably what's going to happen, but things could change. And they talked about all sorts of things. They're making changes to multiplayer. They're giving characters, classes, new like abilities that like assign to each class. So, assault can like sprint, tanks have, I don't know, healers regenerate health when they're out of combat, you know, like little passive perks. But the real thing in Overwatch 2 is the single player content. And it sounds like they're going to create a game loop. So like several games like Deep Rock Galactic, you play co-op with people, you jump into a game, you have objectives, you complete those objectives, you get XP, and then you come out and you spend your XP or talent on talent points, because they have these whole tiers or these whole talent trees where you can build your character to do different things. Like you can make it so Junkrat has twice as many grenades, or like big changes to the character.
And then will that apply on the multiplayer versus?
No, I don't think so. Right? I think that's just in single player.
Yeah.
They're going to put a little bit of story in this as well. It's honestly, after hearing them pitch it, I was like, okay, I'm kind of interested. I mean, Blizzard, as much as I got a problem with some of the stuff that they do, like they do make some pretty good games.
Let's be honest. Most of this stuff, right? Like at this point, they're putting out, they're swinging more than they're hitting, I feel like.
Well, they're a big AAA company, and I don't really like AAA games, so it's just, it's not really my bag right now. I can't, I don't know. But Overwatch 2, I got to say, like, I was kind of interested in it. The whole co-op thing. Now, the thing is, they say, we're going to have all these new maps, hundreds of new maps, and then everything's going to be different. And people often tout that in games, like, you know, thousands of different things. And really all it is just like a procedurally generated thing, you know, like, you know, same map, but eight different colors, you know, or like little objects moved in different places. So
it's completely different, dude.
Yeah. So I don't know. And they talked about some of the game modes, and I was like, I guess those sound fun. They're all basically just, you know, pick something up and bring it over here, or guard this spot, or kill a bunch of guys, you know, like pretty standard stuff. But I'm holding judgment till I actually play it. Like I think I'm sure they'll have like a free weekend where I could check it out, try before I buy. But I love co-op games. That's been my thing for a while now. Like lately, that's all I've been playing.
Like if you could get the Deep Rock Galactic chemistry in a AAA title, I mean that's just win-win, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean if it looks as good as Overwatch does, that just adds to everything. It just looks better, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they said they didn't want to make it grindy. So they have that mindset. Now, then again, I'm like, that sounds great, and I believe you can do it. But then again, Diablo, Diablo 3, which is just like grinding the game, you know?
But wildly popular, and, you know, people love that game.
Yeah, but people love slot machines, too.
I got more on that later. Go ahead, Nick.
There's also some other like cynicism towards Blizzard in this situation because of the fact that they are like, oh, the PvE game mode, right? Play cooperative with your friends, and a lot of people are likening it to their holiday game mode. So, for example, they had
content before.
Yeah, so like the Halloween one was like, oh, defend this area from zombies, and like even some of the heroes have special Halloween abilities and stuff like that, and it changes like the base character, and then you like the bosses are other characters, but they have like a zombie skin or something, and so they're like, oh, they're really just making that another key part of the game now. Mm-hmm. And so some people have been cynical about that. And then they also announced a large array of new heroes, and then they've said, you know, some heroes are getting a rework, but you know, people are looking at it with those rose-tinted glasses, as they like to do sometimes.
Yeah. So those, like the Halloween one I played, and it was really fun. And people played the leaderboards, and you played on different difficulties. And if they're saying thousands of maps, because that map is tiny. It's, you can,
yeah.
If you're looking at it, you see the whole thing, basically. It's, you know, it's a quarter acre or whatever it is. And like if that's what they're talking about, I guess it would be okay, but it definitely wouldn't be okay calling that Overwatch 2.
I don't know. It's so, really hard to pin down what makes that.
How far that out are we?
Fun.
Did they talk about that?
They said not this year.
Not this year.
Yeah.
No, they've already announced that it's going to either be 2022 or mid to late 2022.
Yeah, it's a ways off, so we don't have to worry about this for a while. But excuse me,
you
don't know,
man. Did you swallow a moth?
Yeah, no, I don't. I don't know. I went running today, so my lungs are a little weak, it feels like. But it's really hard to pin down what makes these games successful, these games where you go in, you do basically the exact same thing, and then you come out and you get to spend your talent points and XP.
And do it again.
Yeah, because that sounds really boring, right? But unless the gameplay loop, what you're actually doing is fun and enjoyable. I mean, Killing Floor 2, you're basically just wave survival on different maps, and yet I really enjoy that game. I put like 150 hours into it.
Or if it changes enough to keep it fresh. That's the other thing.
Mm-hmm. Like, that too, yeah.
As soon as I start playing a game and I see what's going on, okay, especially mobile games, right? And again, more on this later. But it's like you start doing a thing and you have that first loop and it's really fun. And then you everything like amps up, and then it's just bigger numbers, the same monsters, just different colored, and then it just goes on and on. Mm-hmm. And it's like that Joe Rogan joke. Why would you climb Mount Everest? The snow on the bottom is the same as the snow at the top. Same thing with these games. Like the numbers at the bottom, even though they're smaller, are the exact same thing as the same mm-hmm. gameplay loop at the top. Stop. They're just fucking with your monkey brain to get you to fucking keep clicking. Mm-hmm. Don't fall for it, people.
Well, I think you have to take inventory periodically when you play a game like that and ask yourself, why are you playing? Are you playing because you're trying to unlock a hat or something, or a cosmetic, or...
Or pure compulsion.
Yeah, but I think a lot of times, like, are you playing for the part where after the mission you're in there and you're unlocking things and you get, and sometimes that can be fun because you unlock something, it changes your gameplay, you go out and you test it in the field. That can be enjoyable, but sometimes people are just playing just for the latter half. They don't enjoy the actual gameplay. They just enjoy the part where they get to come back and reap the rewards. So if that's the case, then I think you're playing from compulsion. But I don't know. We're speculating a lot on a game that's nowhere near finished. We'll see what happens. I will say this, like Overwatch, they have the slickest UI I've ever seen in a game. Like I went back and played it maybe within the last year, and I was still just like, damn, this game looks so good. Not just the characters and like the explosions and stuff. Dude. I'm just talking the menus. Everything. And like the sound effects that come in. Like
music.
Yeah, they just do a good job with that. I could see myself getting into a PvE. I have zero interest in the PvP in this game, which is why I never really played it that much. But a PvP or a PvE that was fun, I could see myself getting into it.
And that sucks because you're a pretty good Reinhardt, man.
No, I wasn't.
Yeah, you were. At the time, you were.
No, dude. I was never good at that game. I don't think I was ever good at Overwatch. I do enjoy playing Reinhardt.
Speaking of BlizzCon and new PvE stuff, they announced for Diablo 4 the newest class, which is Rogue. So mm-hmm. now we have four classes for Diablo 4.
Yeah,
it's a lady, and she looks really cool, and her abilities are really cool as well. A lot of ranged abilities, which you wouldn't think a rogue in like a D&D sense to be using a bow and arrow all the time, but. You know, they showed more gameplay. The game looks absolutely gorgeous compared to Diablo 3. But I really want to see the whole game, you know, completed and just get my hands on it. But we're not going to see that for a while either.
Yeah, it's going to be a while too. And the Rogue, people are excited because we haven't seen a Rogue in a Diablo game since the first game. The very first
game. I believe you're correct. Yes. I believe. Yeah. We have like a demon hunter kind of lady. Or Ranger, whatever it was called, and like they all fill the same slot, but the Rogue has like some really cool abilities. They all have their own cinematics, and hers is really cool. Like she goes into a church, and she's like essentially doing confession behind a priest. And as she's talking to him, she's starting to put like ears, like human ears behind him on like a pew. And you find out that she's working for the church and she's saying all these negative things that you would connotate with, you know,
but she's doing it for them.
She's doing the work for them. Oh, that's she's awesome. Like killing demons and heretics and stuff. So, and she even says the word heretics and has like a 40K fan that just gets my jimmies going. So I'm just like, whoa, but, but yeah, no, it's definitely a great trailer to watch. Like I said, it shows the game, it shows the animations and stuff. And you're like, that's a pretty ass game, man.
So. Yeah. And just in general, I feel like they're going with a very mature, very gory theme.
That's what they said. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's a selling point because when the original Diablo came out, like people were just like, you know, there was a lot of pearl clutching when the original Diablo and Diablo 2 came out and there's, oh, this is satanic. And, there's so much violence and blood and guts, and that's always been kind of a selling point of the game and part of its style. So I'm glad they're sticking with that.
I'm seeing some of her stuff. So I was like, how can you make a rogue work? Because I mean, inherent to these dungeon crawlers is like you clicking, they're running towards you and you're clicking something. And it's like a wall versus like a front line. There's always a front line going on and rogue is always behind the front line. Right. I mean, that's how you think of rogues. And so she's doing a dash through and kind of disemboweling them. And then once she's in the back line doing some backstabbing and then they turn around and then you reestablish that front line. So, hopefully there's a lot more of that. I would hate to just see another range, like an archer. Might as well just call it an archer.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll figure it out. Also in Diablo news at BlizzCon, they announced that they are remastering Diablo 2, calling it Diablo 2 Resurrected. And it will will include the Lords of Chaos. What was the expansion?
Yeah, I think you nailed it.
So Lords of Chaos. Yeah, it'll include the expansion on there. It looks fantastic. They're up in the graphics, the resolution, everything you would expect. And the Warcraft 3 Reforged Edition, I feel like after a while that got to where it should have been. I know some people still have some issues with little bits here and there, but I was pretty happy with it. I still go back and play it from time to time.
I feel like companies this big moving backwards or looking backwards or any of that, I think it's a bad look, man. I think it's almost like we're hoping we're putting more money towards our former greatness than looking forward and trying out new things.
They're doing a lot of new stuff as well. I mean,
are they?
Wasn't there some article that was explaining how like Blizzard starts so many projects and acts as half of them after a certain period of time? Like they've got huge teams supporting World of Warcraft, Overwatch, Hearthstone. You know, they're big, they're big money makers. But then they've got other parts that are supporting things like these remakes. I don't know. I think a lot of people still enjoy. As someone who really enjoys old games, I appreciate this type of stuff that they remake them. There's so many games out there that I wish they would remake, but I know we'll never get remade because there aren't big companies like Blizzard that have the resources to do it.
I don't know, man. I think if they were killing the game, they wouldn't be looking back. They'd just be making cool shit all the time. Cool new things.
No, I don't know. Maybe. they tend to stick with what makes money. All right.
But do you think that they should be really going for the IPs that they've already made, or do you think that they should be going out for new stuff?
Both. I like Diablo 4, that's totally fine. Yeah, cool, man.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, totally cool.
But do you want to see, like, eventually, like, Overwatch 7? Or do you want to see, like, some cool shit?
So Overwatch is a whole universe, and I think it's a cool universe, and I think they should push it. And make a bunch of games within that universe that make sense. But start pushing the envelope. Try new things. You know, if you do just, like, the PvE that Bobby was talking about, if you're just going to do the same game modes that TF2 did or that Deep Rock Galactic has done, like, I don't know. You got to try some new shit. I think you have the money. Do some beta testing, a lot more testing. Don't just put out a broken product like you have been. I'm really disenfranchised with the whole Blizzard thing. If you can't tell.
I think Blizzard has the assets, and we've seen this as far as like Overwatch goes and a lot of the other games, that their cinematics really just tell stories by themselves.
Yeah.
I think they could make a single player game and like they'd kill it. Like they could make a game like Horizon Zero Dawn and just absolutely
Everybody makes money off of single player games though, maybe on console, but just in general, it's hard to monetize that because you're just making money off of each sale, you know? You can't, it's not really a cash cow. You can't continually make money off of it. And Blizzard is at that level, and especially since they got bought by Activision. They aren't messing around with the little stuff, dude. Like they're interested in making big money.
Legacy games that make you money forever.
Yeah, but these are like, I feel like these are fan service, not a ton of work put into them. They take a lot of time, but I can't imagine they've got huge resources devoted to this. I don't know. Speaking of things coming back, World of Warcraft, they are changing the classic servers to Burning Crusade. You have the option to go to Burning Crusade in these. You can stay on the vanilla servers, or you can move your character to Burning Crusade. Now, this is, I don't think I'll ever play this, but this is exciting for me because Burning Crusade was when I really got into WoW. This is World of Warcraft to me, Burning Crusade. Going out to the Outlands, getting a flying mount, doing Karazhan. Like, this is like 2007, 8-ish. This is when I really got into WoW.
Agreed. I was there with you, for sure.
The thing about this, like, Burning Crusade, as like a dad now who has like very limited time, maybe like a 2 hour or 3 hour at most gaming like time, BC is the perfect thing because you have like the raids that were like an hour or 2 hours, like Gruul's or Magtherion's Lair and things like that. And so I'm ultra excited to play this because like when I played vanilla with Emilio, like I was like, could I have some gold? Could you run me through this place? And you were like, no, I'm doing stuff. But like BC, when it was like the training wheels were off, I'm like, I'm about to make my own gold, motherfucker. And like I was like raiding and stuff. So like you guys said, I'm really excited for this as well. If you guys want to play.
Got the PvP in Burning Crusade too, dude. I could roll a shocket in again.
That's not like you guys, it ever worked. You guys are welcome to hop on, and you guys will definitely have a home with my guild. And we always are welcoming to new people.
Yeah, I don't got that kind of time, dude.
You can quit school.
I'd have to quit a lot more than that to be able to really get into this. But what I like about it is, so they just finally upgraded to Burning Crusade, and you don't even need to jump to that, but it's not going anywhere. So it's not like, what do they call regular WoW now? They got a name for it.
Retail.
Yeah, it's not like retail, where it's just like, dude, if you slack off, you're going to fall behind, and then a new patch is going to come out, and then everything reset. Like, you got to constantly be on top of it. Honestly, the thing I miss most about WoW is the pets. It sounds stupid, but I miss the pets. I should really just
play. We just got to buy you Pokemon and a Switch. That's it. That's all we got to get you. We'll never see you for months.
I forgot, Bobby. Did you end up playing that, like, Pokemon game?
Temtem? No.
Yeah, Temtem. You never played it? Okay. Hey, Christian, can you look up like how many people, maybe we can get this number of classic players there are?
That's the other thing too. I'm worried that they're going to split the community with this. I don't know, because a lot of WoW players, they tend to do everything. They'll have a character on vanilla, they'll have a character on Burning Crusade. So maybe not, that's not a big concern, but still it's going to divide the community a bit. There's only so many WoW players.
The majority of classic players, and I'm talking about, I think it's above 70% as far as like what they've released. Because everybody for like a solid month and a half, every time you logged in, there was a survey was like, would you play the Burning Crusade if it was released like classic? And like everybody I knew and then their friends were all like, yep. And then there was people on Reddit that were like hosting unofficial like polls and everything. And it was like above 90% most of the time, because Burning Crusade to a lot of people is considered like the Magnus. Burning Crusade and the Wrath of the Lich King are considered like the
I'd say
the crown jewel of everything.
Burning Crusade is where it peaked. Wrath of the Lich King, what happened in that one is that before that's or when, after Cataclysm,
dude?
That's after Burning Crusade. You old man.
It was after Burning Crusade.
Yeah,
I didn't play much in that one.
I didn't play much.
You fight the Lich King. Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's yeah, not... I played some of that. That was when my brother was playing. I didn't like that one that much. That was the level cap was 80, right?
Yeah. So, yeah. And that's why people like,
that's what I rolled a manage.
Burning Crusade was that it was the perfect in between from like retail and classic, because you have the, like the difficulty of classic, but like you have a lot of the retail like features like dailies. So you're not like, you're not broke and you don't have those fallback mechanics where it's like in retail now where you can just make gold literally from your phone. And instead you have to log in, you know, play for an hour and do all your dailies and get your gold. But it's not a make or break thing. It's definitely, you know, it's going to drive up the economy and everything. And people are already prepping for it. Like, people are banking money. People are getting money ready to have mages power level them, which is crazy. So there's a dungeon called Maradon, and you can get like maybe 6 or 7 levels an hour, and you have to pay mages to run you through them. And so like these mages will make like 150, 200 gold an hour, which in classic is like a shit ton of money comparatively to like retail. Mm-hmm. And so people are already getting all that stuff set up, because the Blood Elves were considered like one of the best races when they came out. And so people are banking thousands of gold just to power level characters, which is nuts.
Wow.
So it looked like just under 200,000 players is what Sniper found for WoW Classic. So if you're going to divide that.
Well, this is saying 310,000 here.
Well, multiply that by 15, and that's how much money they're making in a month.
Yeah. Yeah.
Big business. All right. Let's see what else. Anything more from BlizzCon? No, I don't think so. I will say, just in general, BlizzCon, I watched the opening ceremony. They had Karbat do some animations. Like, they did a pretty good job for it being only online. I was actually really impressed with, because not only was it online, but the people that were hosting the panels were separated. They weren't like all sitting around a couch or anything. They were separated. And usually I've watched a lot of online stuff since quarantine, pandemic, all that stuff started. And a lot of it is really poorly done. A lot of the Comic-Con stuff, like some of the panels were just really bad. Like, you know, you got one guy whose mic is way too loud. Some other guy who wants to be a joker and use the green screen or the background. And like, it's all like cutting out part of his face and it looks terrible. And like the other dude, you can't even hear him at all. Like, it's just a mess, dude. Yeah. And this, like, everybody sounded even. Like, the audio levels were great. They didn't have any goofy backgrounds. It was all very uniform. Like, they did a good job. And Blizzard usually puts the effort into doing those things right. So I think in general, it's the best that they could do given the circumstance. And you can watch all this stuff on YouTube or wherever, or just get the rundown on Reddit. Might be easier. But they really, you know, I used to be a big Heroes of the Storm fan. They really pushed that off to the side. That game has just been deprecated so much. At this point, they have, like, you know, they got their big winners up there, like WoW, Overwatch, Hearthstone, Diablo, and then they have end strategy games, and then like grouped in there is StarCraft and Heroes of the Storm and the Blizzard Classic games, and it's just like nobody cares. And there were so many great memes on the Heroes of the Storm Reddit just about like how they were just completely forgotten about. But I get it, man. Like, that game's not a big money maker, and it's they still support it to the extent that they can. But they've definitely, they don't push it like they did a couple of years ago.
Yep. All right. So were you done with Blizzard?
Yep.
Cool. The only thing that I have this week on the radar is called First Class Trouble. It's a, it's basically a third person version of Among Us, which, you know, you were going to get a bunch of, after the gigantic meteoric rise of Among Us, you're going to get clones. But at least this has like pretty good graphics, and the setting is pretty cool. Seems like you're on a spaceship, and it's kind of like retrofuturism, where, you know, you're on a spaceship, but everybody looks like they're from the 20s, maybe 50s, 40s, somewhere around there. I don't know. They're kind of going for like a glitzy. It's almost
BioShock, Art Deco.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. But, you know, everybody knows what this is. It's just whether or not they pull off the chemistry And what I do like about it is I saw one person get assassinated, and it looks like, well, not that picture, but I from what I saw before, you can get assassinated and not see who did it. And so maybe, because I really don't like that part of Among Us where, like, if you're on Discord, it kind of fucks the whole thing up because you could easily give the whole game away, right?
Yeah.
But if, hopefully this game has something built in where that's not the case. But yeah, it's I'm all for better graphics existing. Jesus, I can't stop burping. Sorry, guys. Hopefully it's good. We'll see.
I mean, it looks interesting.
I think what made Among Us so successful was the simplicity of the game, not just the graphics and the gameplay.
The accessibility.
The accessibility, exactly. So, I don't know, when you kind of up it a little bit more and make it more like other video games where you need a console or a computer to play, it might not quite catch fire.
But here's the thing. I don't need it to catch fire. All I need is a good game night, you know? Mm-hmm. If it can host 10 to 12 of us and not crash.
Yeah. What's the price on this game?
There's almost no information on this game yet.
Early 2021. It sounds
like you want to play Unfortunate Spaceman.
Which I haven't even looked at yet.
And you can play up to 15 people.
Yeah. Go ahead, Nick. What do you got?
No. I'm just talking about, like, you're talking about the simplicity of, like, of Among Us and things like that. And like another thing about Among Us is that A, it was cheap. B, the streamers were the ones that were pushing it so hard. The game was, what, 4 years old or 3 years old at the time when it launched?
It was a bit of a fluke. I mean, they did a great job making the game, but, you know, great games don't get attention a lot of times because there's so many out there. But it was just, it just kind of happened out of nowhere. There's really no explanation, nothing that you can duplicate or reproduce, I think.
A couple of weeks ago, they tweeted out, like, hey, we just hired a fourth developer. And it's just like, okay, man. Like, I don't know. I think maybe you should bring on more than that, but who knows?
Another thing is, like, it goes back to, like, the League of Legends things where it's like you can run the thing on a potato and, like, everyone can play it. And that's why Among Us is so good. But, like, because of everybody being in the DLG community usually has, like, a gaming computer or all right laptop, we can play Unfortunate Spaceman and have, like, some real shit going on. That's a minor plug to that, because it is free, which usually is the issue of, like, hey, guys, let's play this game. Well, how much does it cost? $29.99. Well, I either can't afford it or I don't want to spend money on it. And then you have, like, 10, 15 people that are like, yeah, let's just play, you know, Jackbox games. And so.
Hey, Nick. Real quick about League of Legends, you've played a lot, yeah.
So yeah, over 1,000 hours.
Yeah, there's a there's an anime on Netflix that is based in the League of Legends world. Are you on? Are you hip to this?
So do you have, like, a name by any chance?
I don't, but it's like on the front page. They're pushing it pretty hard.
League of Legends Netflix. Let me do my own.
Well, let's not do this live. I just was wondering if you're going to check it out.
Oh, it's called League of Legends Origins.
Is it? Is that the one? All right.
Oh, no, that has to deal with, like, streaming and stuff like that.
You're going to have to... Forget it. We'll talk about it later. I was just hoping you saw it or whatever. What's Shattered?
Shattered?
Yeah, that's your game, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about League of Legends. I was like, what the fuck is Shattered? There's, like, an ability.
I'm trying to get off the League of Legends because you didn't know what I was talking about.
Okay, so Shattered is a game called Shattered, Tale of the Forgotten King. It's what looks to be a Dark Souls clone, to the point that even the fucking boss health bars and inventory system looks exactly like Dark Souls.
Yeah.
It's made by a French development company. The game looks smooth. It looks cool. I'd definitely pick it up if I had more time and I wasn't, you know, the owner of a server and a bunch of other shit like that. I might pick it up, because I get bored sometimes of just doing the same shit all the time. I don't know. I'm a big fan of, like, the cell shading and things like that, and, like, simple but yet beautiful graphics. And this is one of those games. The bosses look interesting from the bosses that I've seen on streaming and YouTube. So it looks great.
I prefer this look over, like, Dark Souls. Like Dark Souls 3. Even Dark Souls 3 had way better graphics, let's say. But I prefer stylized things that look like this.
I think these
compared to like Gothic better. Graphics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Bobby?
But yeah.
That's, I think they age better when you go with more of a cartoonish look.
Yeah.
It's like Borderlands looks amazing still, too, huh?
And he's got a little baby skeleton on his back, which is cool. Hmm. Speaking of Borderlands, I want to get into it because I didn't put it on my list, but I did play a lot of Borderlands this week. Last week, I talked about how I lost my main character, which had probably 80 hours into it. I had like a level 14... what are they called? Siren. And I had a level like 10, like spy. I forget what his name is or whatever. So I started up at the, she's like a soldier and she has a mech suit. She's basically, Navi Diva.
Do you know anything about this game?
It's because you're playing this game or are you actually like, you know,
it's like, they're just kind of like these throwaway. I really like my character.
They have a specific name for each class and
yeah, it's like
thing in the game.
Exactly. There's not a class. It's a person, and that person has a name. So it's just kind of like these archetypes. So it's like a spy guy. It's a siren who has psychic powers, and there's a soldier, and the soldier has this mech suit. So anyway, I started playing it. I'm like, this is just kind of coming out of frustration. I'm like, I'm gonna get back where I was, you know. Meanwhile, I don't have anywhere near the amount of time when this game first came out that I do now. So I'm almost playing with like tears in my eyes. I'm like, God damn it, I'm just playing it out of spite. Yeah. And but I'm having a good time actually. Here and there. I'm torn. I don't know. I don't know if I'm enjoying it, if I'm just trying to get back where I was. I don't know where I'm at with this. I will continue doing it, I think. I don't know. I shouldn't have even brought it up. I don't know.
Wild ride, man.
Yeah, it was a wild ride. I ended up going with the spy class. He has like some robots that he throws out and they do things. I'm going to stop.
I Alzheimer's-esque old man. I finally found out what you were rambling on about in your fever dream. So you're talking about a series on Netflix called Arcane. It's being made by Riot Studios. It has to do with it is in the universe of League of Legends. It has to do with one of the cities that's in it, and it shows one of the franchise's like antagonist characters, who's like a lot of people like. Her name's Jinx, but it's essentially like a third person view into the universe of League of Legends. So,
all right, cool.
They did announce 4 or 5 months ago that it's being delayed until 2021, late 2021. And then, with that announcement, Valve announced that they're coming out with a Dota show for Netflix called Dota Dragon's Blood.
Yeah.
And it's an anime.
That'd be cool. Is that one out?
Dota?
Yeah.
No, it comes out March 25th.
Oh, okay. That's the one that I was looking at. So I had the wrong game. Yeah. I'm all over the place, guys. I think I might be drunk.
There's a few more games that I wanted to give a quick shout out to. Games that I thought looked kind of interesting, but probably not too much to say about them. First one, Autopsy Simulator. So this is just a weird idea, right? An autopsy simulator. It sounds like the, the game that they're coming out. It's got a sequel. Can't remember the name of it. Anyway, Surgeon Simulator.
Surgeon Simulator.
Yeah, it was so close. It was right there. I couldn't see it. But Surgeon Simulator is comedic, right? It's meant for laughs. It's very goofy. This looks very serious, and it's not just about the autopsy. There's a story surrounding this. You're finding out why these people are died. You're finding weird things inside them that are clues as to the what is actually going on and part of the bigger story. And it's a mystery horror game. So I like the idea that there's something bigger going on outside of it. It seems like a really good idea for kind of a puzzle story game. And looking at the video and the screenshots of it, it looks like it's definitely going for a little more of a darker look. or something more serious.
I feel like the graphics are exactly where they need to be.
Yeah, they're not spectacular, but they're not terrible.
Yeah.
No price on this game, no release date as of yet.
I hope the first one, the tutorial, is like pulling out a giant dildo from somebody
who I don't know.
Got too adventurous.
The other game I want to mention is called Buildings Have Feelings 2. Kind of a weird name, right? This is a city builder game. Quite literally, you build a city out of these buildings that are anthropomorphized. They've got little arms and legs, and apparently they have needs as well, so you've got to take care of them. But I thought that was kind of a cute and interesting idea for a city builder. I haven't quite seen this done yet. And it looks kind of on the simple side. I'm a little tired of like the really advanced, really complex city builder games. They're fine if you got the time, but I really enjoy these simpler ones. One fantastic game, kind of like this, a simple strategy game, was called Turmoil. I talked about it a long time ago, but I always remember that game, and I always feel like I want to go back to it and play more of it. I might do that this week.
I have a hard time. Like, I'm looking at this game, and I'm like, I don't know how this is played out.
Yeah, it's really hard to tell from the trailers that they give you. It doesn't quite look like gameplay. In some of the screenshots, you can see some of the menus where you can buy things, but I really don't know what you actually do in this game.
It looks good. I mean, I like the way it looks.
Yeah.
It looks like a Monty Python skit or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
I think Sniper's going to be all over this, man.
This is right up his alley, dude.
He's like, feelings, buildings, cities? That's all about me.
All right. The last game I want to talk about, and this is one that I'm very excited for, Black Mesa Blue Shift. So the guys that made Black Mesa, which was the very well done remake of Half-Life, and they also took a lot of creative license with it, changed the ending.
Your game of the year.
Yeah, my favorite game that I played this year. The newest game that I played this year, or favorite new game that came out in 2020.
Last year.
Yeah. Favorite game released in 2020. I guess that's the best way to put it. So what they're doing, and they've already started doing this, and they've just announced that they're working on it, is they're doing the same thing for a game called Blue Shift. Now, if you don't know, if you haven't been gaming this long, then you might not know what this game is. So Half-Life came out, scientist in a lab, something goes wrong, he has to kill a bunch of aliens, gets transported to another dimension. All this crazy stuff happens, right? They come out with another game called Opposing Force, where the same exact thing is happening, but you're playing from the perspective of the soldiers that infiltrate the base. So same event, played from a different perspective. Then almost as a joke, after both of these games, also that was Gearbox's first game, Opposing Force, by the way. But after both of these games, they come out with Blue Shift, which was much shorter, but in this one you play Barney the cop, just a random security guard
yeah,
in this place, who is stuck in the middle of this. And I remember the trailer very specifically. It's like, first you're the scientist, and then you play from the other side, and now you're caught in the middle. Yeah. You know, so you're just kind of this haphazard, bumbling security guard who's just like, what's going on? And it was a shorter game. It was all right. It wasn't, you know, it was like the third Half-Life game. It wasn't like anything incredible. But I do like that they are remaking this. They can have a lot of fun with this.
I remember it was a shorter game, like 5 hours, something like that.
It was maybe half the length of the other ones, I want to say. It was much shorter.
I totally forgot that this was after Opposing Force.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember I played, before Half-Life 2 came out, I played all through Half-Life 1, Opposing Force, and Blue Shift before I played Half-Life 2 in preparation. And then little did I know I wouldn't beat Half-Life 2 until like 15 years later. Oh, wow. All right. Well, we had a big on-the-radar section this week. A lot going on, BlizzCon, but let's talk about some games that we have been playing.
Go ahead.
Okay. I'll start off, because I'm not going to say too much about this game. I played Generation Zero this week. This is a co-op survival game that came out a while ago. It wasn't officially released until March 2019, but I played this much further back than that date. At the time that I played it, I remember thinking, this is really cool, because crafting survival games were really popular, and This one had a leveling system. Your characters got XP, leveled up, you unlocked talents, and you could gear your character in a certain way. It had co-op, and it had objectives. So you had to go to this area, find something that led you to another area, and you kind of bounced back and forth between different spots on the map. And I thought that was very refreshing because I was burnt out on the whole crafting survival. Just, it's an open sandbox, do whatever, create your own story. You know, that's fine and that can be fun, but I was definitely in the mood for something a little more focused. And I really liked the idea of leveling up. But now playing it, it seems pretty dated because so much has happened in that area of crafting survival. They've done so many things with it. And it's still a good game. Now, if you play with people, it's going to be, you're going to have a good time, right? Like any co-op game is fun as long as you got the right crowd. So I had a good time playing it. I can't really I can't say this is a must buy or you got to get this one. It does take place in 1980s Sweden, which I thought was interesting. Like it's a period game. And Sweden, of all places, and they do a good job. The developers must be Swedish. I'm not sure. But they do a good job with a lot of the dialogue and the recordings that you find. They're all in Swedish. Of course, they give you translations. But it's kind of a cool setting. But you run into the typical problem with crafting survival where all the houses start to look the same. And you know, they got the same layout, basically, mm-hmm. the same structure. You see a lot of the same assets reused. And the game itself feels a little wonky. You can hop on bikes, but it's kind of hard to ride them. And you fight these robot dogs and these giant robots, which are, they're pretty fun to take down. But, you know, you kind of run into a lot of them over and over again.
Do you see yourself going back to this game at all?
Well, because I have it now and because there are people on the server that play it, yeah, I'd probably hop back in if, you know, if the mood calls for it, but I can't really promote this game. Like, it's not really a must buy. I got it on sale though. Got it for like $8.50. And I had a bunch of Steam credit built up. So I basically got the game for like a dollar. So I really cannot complain. It was part of a Humble Bundle recently too. Like $10, you got this and a bunch of other games.
I feel like Valheim, which, do you have a question?
No. I was going to make it something. It's all right. You're fine.
No. Valheim is maybe that little middle ground that you've been looking for, Bobby, because, you know, you get the little bit of do whatever you want because you can build whatever you want, wherever you want, kind of. Mm-hmm. But there is that common goal of taking down these bosses, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's a co-op survival game.
So you get some structure.
Don't get me wrong. Valheim's a game to get right now. Yeah. Like, it's amazing. And I really like what they've done with the buffs. And that's just such a genius idea for a game like that, because these games feel like a chore. You got to go chop down a bunch of these. You got to feed yourself. I like the idea of like, you actually want to do that because you get the buff. So I think, yeah, Valheim's the game to get. Obviously everyone's playing it right now.
Yeah. So John and I, well, he had it already. I bought it last night. I played it some, to say I played it, that's being generous. I was on the server for like an hour and a half, and even getting some wood is fucking adventure. It's an adventure in itself. Like, you're starting to chop down wood, fucking bad guys are coming. So it's like you're mixing the combat. It's not just chopping wood. It's like, how much wood can I chop before I got to fucking get into this melee battle? It's a lot like a lot of different games where you level up things as you're doing them, which it feels like you're always like making progress constantly. As far as the assets being reused, I'm sure like you'll see a lot of things that look alike. But so on our server that we have, see how I say we, like, fucking, I put any work into this thing at all.
All right, Comrade Amelia.
Yeah. It's very, there's like a central hub of portals that they've all set up that works great, but it's all very utilitarian, right? It's just like a bunch of portals, stone walls, get to where you got to go, blah, blah, blah. Clown Lotion, or Lotion, has had time to like make his shit look nice, dude. Like, yeah, you walk in his place and you're like, whoa, this is like a really cool place to hang out. I'd rather stay here than that old stone palace down the road. And then John's building a restaurant. So I was like, I guess I'll just help you get some resources for that. I can't talk too much about it. People do bitch about the graphics, but it's like voxel based, so everything's going to be a bunch of boxes. But the lighting is really great and reflective. The you know, the water and even in the ponds and stuff, it looks really good. So it's kind of a mix of really poor textures, which you have to expect with a voxel based game. Mixed with like pretty good lighting, like that's what really sold the game for me, looks wise. Besides that, I enjoyed the combat. It's not like mind blowing or anything, but it's as complex as it needs to be. I had fun shooting the bows, killing things, trying to level that up, and yeah. I got to play it a lot more before I can talk about it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like we've talked quite a bit about it.
Yeah.
Already.
I also kind of went down the, survival gathering, you know, timeline. I ended up, picking Ark back up. So, as some of the listeners know, for the past like month and a half, 2 months, I was playing Rust with my friends, and some of the people from the DLG gaming community. But we're now switching to Ark, so if anyone wants to play Ark, let me know. Hmm. But this brought up another topic as far as, like, why are you bringing up an old game? And that's, did you guys know that Ark 2 is coming out and Vin Diesel's in the fucking trailer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talked about it. I don't know if you
and not only that, but Chris Pratt is going to be in the Ark movie coming out in late this year.
Movie? I know they had a TV show coming out. I didn't know there was a movie.
Yeah, there's a movie with Chris Pratt in it. Wow. And yeah, and so they're apparently going all out on it. Oscar Isaac's in it. John Boyega's in it. But yeah, everyone's super excited. So we decided to hop on Ark. The last DLC of Ark 1 is coming out. And so we're going to be playing that. And as far as like other survival, you know, gathering games and things like that, in Rust news, they're bringing slot machines into the game, and they're also fixing a lot of bugs. The devs also announced that they will be getting rid of the Twitch drops, so we're going to see a huge number of Twitch streamers, Twitch viewers, and Twitch play and like Rust players decline because of that. They said that they're going to be announcing that the drops will only occur monthly instead of weekly, and so. Mm-hmm. With that, everything's going to start declining for Rust. So that's my news for that.
Hmm. All right. Before we forget, we've got some subs here that I wanted to shout out. Recycled coming in at 30 months. 30 months, man. It's a long time. Is that 2.5 years? Jeez Louise. That's insane. Also, we had one earlier in the show. Thank you to SMI Jeff. Thank you very much, guys. Awesome. And Nick Gifton subs.
Oh, wow. What are you talking about? I didn't do nothing.
Did you see? I don't know if you saw this or not, but I saw the article. I didn't see it live, but Metallica played at BlizzCon and Twitch
made them. Dude, it was bad.
Did you see it live?
I watched part of it. I'm like, dude, Metallica's getting old. Like, it was not it's always old. Good to see, you know, live performances, especially when it has to do with like video games and shit. Mm-hmm. But I'm just like, man, they're getting old. You can see, like, by the way they're playing their instruments, by the way, like, you know, they're singing and stuff. I'm just like, ugh.
Yeah, they're getting up there, man. I always thought Tenacious D was the perfect fit for BlizzCon when they played BlizzCon. Like, that's a great band to have at that venue. But what happened was Twitch muted them and played some weird chiptune music when they were performing, possibly because everyone's assuming it's because they were concerned about DMCA takedown. You know, Twitch is very, they've got a lot of issues with that. And then, as we know, Metallica can be very litigious. They were one of the biggest voices speaking out against Napster back in the 90s. It's funny, if you've ever watched the... there's a great documentary by Bill from Bill and Ted. he makes documentaries now. He's got a lot of good ones. He's got one on child actors. He's got one on the Silk Road. He's got a lot of cool ones out there. But one of his earlier ones was called Downloaded, and it was about Napster. And, you know, he's interviewing all the big players in that. But one of the people said, one of the guys that invented Napster, he said, yeah, man, it was like, it was totally weird when all this happened. You know, the people that were suing us were gangster rap and heavy metal, like the most hardcore fuck you, like we don't give a fuck authority. And they're just like, oh, you're still in our music? Whoa, get my lawyers, you know? And he thought that was just really, really ironic. And yeah, it is kind of funny.
A lot of artists are just like, fuck it. Like, more people hear
Well, now
music.
You have to, dude. Now you have to be that way. But in the 90s, this was a real big deal. I remember Exhibit, like, wearing the fuck Napster shirt at all his concerts and stuff. And then, yeah, Lars Ulrich and Metallica were very outspoken against it. But it was just the wave of the future, man. Like, things were going digital. That's just how it happened.
I saw a few fucking videos this week of, I guess, cops are starting to play copyrighted music on their phones while they're being recorded for whatever they're being recorded for, so that it can't be uploaded to, like, YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're playing it on the phone so that they can't be observed, I guess. Yeah. Well, they can be observed. It just can't be...
The audio can't be used.
Yeah.
So, not to like, just... This is kind of reaching here, but... Do you guys ever know, you know that song,
You guys like waffles.
Shaggy? I love waffles. You guys know that song, It Wasn't Me by Shaggy?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys know that that song never would have, like, raised in popularity or anything, except for a Hawaiian DJ using Napster?
Oh, he found it and blew it up?
So there's a, not to shout out Vice News, but Vice News put out, they have a new series called The Story Behind, and it covers a bunch of songs, especially from your guys' era, like the I'm Blue song and shit like that from Eiffel.
Mm.
And they did one for It Wasn't Me by Shaggy. And it turns out that It Wasn't Me was a last ditch effort by Shaggy and the gang to really just, you know, kind of throw out something before he got
Shaggy
dropped by
game.
His record label.
I'm sorry, is this the Scooby-Doo Detective Agency?
Dude, if his band isn't called And the Gang, it needs to change right now. Retroactively, let's just change everything And the Gang. Shaggy and the Gang is the best word, best ever. That's good.
Yeah. Wow. And so...
Poppy and the Pop-Ups, dude.
No one knows... Like, and this is like a great mystery in the music community, right? So It Wasn't Me was never put on an album. It was never put on a vinyl. It was nothing, right? But somehow it got uploaded to Napster without even being, like, fully distributed or anything. So someone in the music industry just found It Wasn't Me on a tape deck and decided to upload it to Napster. And some guy in Hawaii decided to download it. And within, like, the first 2 hours, he had over 4,000 phone calls. For It Wasn't Me. And so that's just like a little one-off fucking story about that.
That's crazy.
And it blew up. They made millions of dollars off that one song.
Another one that I remember was, who does that? There's a band that just uploaded they debuted their album on Napster. And they're just like, you know, take it. It was a huge band. I forget who it was. They're like, we just want to distribute. It doesn't matter how much money we make on record sales. And I kind of feel like, you know, I'm not a fucking superstar artist, but I kind of feel like the music should be free, and then they make their money from their concerts. That's the way that
it was. Radiohead.
Radiohead, yeah. Kid Radiohead. A was the album.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, there, you can make a lot of money off music with licensing these days. And it's, you know, the whole system is a lot more nuanced now and set up for a digital marketplace. And we were just figuring all that stuff out in the 90s. So it was a very scary time for bands, I can imagine. But you can still get really rich making music. It's just kind of a different way that it happens now.
Well, the studios were taking advantage of young talent for years. For about 30 years, they had stranglehold on the whole industry, man. Like, they, especially towards the end, they were trying to get the, these 360 deals. They're still trying to do it, where they own your likeness and everything you did and everything you will do forever into perpetuity. It's ridiculous, man. That's not,
you know, yeah, like that, you know, that's what happened to Taylor Swift, right? Like, she can't play of any, like, you, if you would say, you know, now is the end of her career and from her beginning of her career, her lawyer and her production company, they all own half of, I mean, they own outright all of the shit that she's made in the first half of her career.
Yeah.
And so she can't play those songs.
She can't perform them.
Do anything. Yeah. She can't perform them. She can't re-record them. She can't rewrite them. She can't do shit with them.
But that's how it is. Yeah, that's how it is, man. That's how it is for.
It's crazy. So,
and what's the reason it is that way? One, businessmen are greedy, or that's their business model. They're just trying to get more money. And artists aren't business savvy usually. They just, you know, they're thinking about their art. They're thinking about writing. They're thinking about how the presentation and stuff like that. They just hand it over to a manager. Manager wants to make as much money, signs this crazy deal, and then you're fucked for the next, for the rest of your career, if you even have one, which is a really small chance. Anyway, they've been getting fucked for years. What were we talking about? How'd this all start?
We were talking about Metallica getting muted on
Twitch. Yeah.
But let's talk about something else.
I'm not going to talk too much about The Last of Us 2, but I am towards the end. I'm playing as the other character, Abby. And I think what they're trying to push here, kind of spoilers here, but not too much. I think they're trying to push the idea of, like, there's no real good guy in the story, and there's no real bad guy. Everybody's kind of, humans are humans, and, like, if you just played the game, or if you knew the story from the other person's perspective, you would understand that this isn't some monster end boss that you're leading up to, you're going to kill, and everything is going to be great because you killed the end boss. She's just a person, and mm-hmm. she fucking grew up in a society, too. You know, like, much like yours, it's just kind of like a band of people that got together, and maybe their philosophies are kind of different, but they're all about family and fucking raising, you know, just trying to make it in this crazy world where fucking
just trying to make it in this crazy world. Yeah. Like us all, man.
Yeah, dang. Pretty much. So I think that's what they're going for. We'll see when I finish this game. I think I'm within a couple hours of finishing it at this point. I will say, I gotta talk about Abby's physique. I guess there was a lot. Can you bring up Abby from The Last of Us 2, Sniper, just so they know what I'm talking about? She's fucking yoked out, like, huge. She's a very, very muscular woman. To the point where, you know, a lot of people had a problem with her physique. And I will say that it's, like, manly, I guess. That's her younger self. That's her, like, teen self. That's before she started working out. I will say there are muscular women. One of my good friends used to be a female bodybuilder. Their physiques, when they get really big, look a little different than us. She does look like she has a male's body, from the waist to the neck. So it does look a little weird. It looks out of place. I don't know if that's what their argument was, but whatever, man. It has nothing to do with the story. It was a weird choice of what they made to make her this, like, hulky. Maybe I'll learn more as I play it. But, yeah, it seems out of place. Especially, like, where are you getting all that protein, man? Like, it's the end of the world.
Eating the mushroom zombies?
I don't know, man. Video games usually have, like, people that are a little too jacked for
Yeah, but the selling point for this is, like, the realism throughout. Like, I've been harping on this for weeks now. Mm-hmm. That it's so realistic. And then, I don't know.
No, except for the mushroom people.
Well, yeah, you got to give them that. Which is not even, it's not even about that.
It's not even about the mushroom people, yeah, man. Dude. It's about the moral ambiguity.
Yeah.
All right.
Amen.
Nick, what do you got?
Some controversy in the PC gaming / Warhammer world.
No.
I'm wearing a Warhammer 40K shirt. What's up? Smells like chai tea, came from Bangladesh. Pretty cool. But there's this game called Battle Sector, and everybody's already hating it. And the reason being is that they're saying, oh, you know, a new 40K game, everybody perks up, you know, everybody that likes 40K and shit. They're like, oh, it's an RTS, so everybody's perking up again. They're like, oh, it's about the Blood Angels, so Blood Angel players are like, oh, you know. And then it's revealed that it's a turn-based strategy game, and it's essentially a port of a mobile game. And people are mad about it already.
Well, if they just wait another week, there'll be another Warhammer game. So, I mean, it's not a big deal, guys.
You're not wrong, damn it. We just want good ones. This is really just really to branch off on the topic of mobile games being ported to PC. And just like by example, and I know it's not really PC, but did you guys know that over 40% of the Switch marketplace is mobile games?
What do you mean?
Like the Nintendo Switch, right?
Yeah.
The console.
People are playing phone games.
The majority of them are mobile games.
Oh wow.
Like cell phone games.
Oh.
Didn't know that.
No, yeah. I
didn't
know. Yeah, it's insane. And so like, do you guys ever feel that like a game like this, like Battle Sector, which is probably gonna be like $40, should be $40, or should it be like the mobile price tag of like $4.99?
Damn. Yeah, it definitely should be $40, dude. That's just taking advantage of your fan base. Yeah. Fuck, dude. Yeah, it should be.
I don't know. They could have changed the game. They could have changed it. So it's. I don't know what the mobile game was like, but usually mobile games have some sort of microtransaction feature,
right?
They got a lot of upsells in them.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's a really good point, Bobby. Like, if you automatically get all of the bells and whistles that you have to pay $100 to get in the mobile game, if you get those built in, yeah, maybe. Maybe there's a $40 worth value in there. It's hard to say. It's case for case judgment on something like this.
Yeah. When's this game coming out?
Who cares?
Warhammer 40K. Another one.
Or no release. It says coming soon, and it's being made by Black Lab Games, and the publisher is Slytherin Studio. And they made the Battlestar Galactica Deadlock game. And so people are already... being skeptical about it.
Yeah. Was that not good? Oh, look, really good reviews. Bobby, did you get into Battlestar Galactica?
No.
People fucking rave about it.
Yeah, man. Like, apparently that show is supposed to be, like, really addictive. I think what killed it for me is the first episode is, like, a 2-hour movie.
Oh.
And then you get into the series proper. So I watched the 2-hour movie and then like an episode or two, but I don't know. I tried this 2011 when I started dating my girlfriend, cause she was really into it.
Oh.
So I don't know. I could go back and maybe give it another shot and probably enjoy it more, but it's a very long series. And I imagine it's kind of gotten older.
Or it's kind of like the opposite of Firefly that ended with a 2-hour movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was just one season in a movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you guys ever heard the term boomer shooter, by the way?
No.
So me and Burn Division, we like to text each other about shit like this, and he taught me about this word, and it's essentially those games that we've been referring to like as Doom clones. And so one of them that I brought up was Hrot, which is a Doom-esque clone on the PC. It looks good. Like I really want to play it. It's $20. It's set in like a Soviet Russia era. And I just thought it was funny that Boomer Division told me that there's a fucking term called boomer shooter.
Well, now we know what they're called.
Yeah. And so like, boomers, I don't know if you guys would pick something up like this again.
Are we officially boomers, Bobby?
I don't think so, man. I think you're Gen X and I'm like barely a millennial. Like on the cusp of being a millennial.
Cusp.
Rather be a boomer than a shoot.
What, 44?
42.
And then, Bobby, you're like, what, 41?
37?
Jesus. God. Oh, I'm young.
I told Nick the last cast, I was like, dude, I'm not making sense this episode because I'm drunk. But he was making no episode because he's not.
What he's not, are you saying?
He was making no sense last episode because he hasn't been sleeping. Mm-hmm. So I was like, dude, you got to get more sleep. Now it looks, look at him, vibrant, mm-hmm. fucking sparkling.
Maybe it's a new light. I don't know.
Yeah, but about that, next week I'll be working the late shift at work. So after everybody goes to sleep in the household, my dream is that I'm going to get an hour or two every night to game. That's going to be crazy good, dude. Hopefully. I'm thinking that's what's going to go on. But I'm going to end up like Nick and just sacrifice the whole night just so I could beat this fucking game or whatever game it is and not sleep at all. But at least I have the option now to sacrifice sleep. I didn't even have that option before. Let's jump over to another mobile game. We were talking about it, kind of Monopoly slots. I know I've brought this up before. Bobby, do you remember when I brought this up?
A while ago.
Yeah.
The mobile game.
I really liked it. And so, you know, I, from time to time at this new job that I have, I basically just, I'm on my phone for like 6 hours, like straight, you know, I just have to look up and make sure that nobody's getting run over. Basically. I'm like a security guard at a front posting. That's basically all it is, but we're at a high profile job. And so 20, 30 people a day come to take pictures and like another 3 or 4 try to sneak in. And so like there is a reason for me to be there, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of downtime. And so I just can't find the right mobile game, and I can't find it. And eventually I was like, what's a mobile game that I've liked in the past? And I was like, well, Monopoly slots. And here we are again, dude. I'm fucking addicted, dude. Like, I'm wondering right now if I got my fucking, my daily salary so that I could go play. I don't know why it's good. I mean, the production value is through the roof. It looks really great. The graphics are great. I guess it's the progression, right? So, yeah, the snow on the bottom is the same as the snow at the top, right? Except for at least the slot machines are changing. And that adds...
It's turtles now instead of chickens.
Yeah, it's turtles instead of chickens, dude. That's the fucking podcast title right there. It's turtles instead of chickens. And yeah, I don't know, man. I'm not going to defend this game. It's got good ratings. Check it out if you need something to do. Especially if, like, you could set it on auto spin and just put it in your pocket, and hopefully you get what you're looking for, because these quests, right? You're trying to mm-hmm. do specific tasks. I don't know. I love this game.
Are we going to see, like, you going to Vegas, and they're going to have, like, a little area for you? It's like Doom slot machine, or like Street Fighter 2 slot machine. That's going to be the new shit.
How is there not a Street Fighter fucking slot machine? There should be one.
Oh, there is in Japan, like those Kino machines that like Konami makes, and there's like Metal Gear Solid slot machine and shit like that.
I saw a little bit of, there's this guy on JM Crofts. I've mentioned him before on the podcast. He does a lot of 2D fighter games. And he has this thing of like greatest moments in 2D fighting game history. And, he was talking about how like at EVO, Americans have never won, Street Fighter 4 or mm-hmm. Street Fighter 5 or Street Fighter 3. Never. It's always the Japanese. And they did offer a little bit of why that is. It's because for the longest time, Americans would have to wait for the console release and the arcade release, which there's a huge arcade culture in Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they have like 6 months of practice before any of that happens. And then you end up playing on those arcade sticks anyway. So I never really thought about it, but I think it's a little more than that. But that's definitely some an advantage for sure.
You want to hear some boomer shit about those arcade machines now?
Go ahead.
That they're all sit down. Like, so I visited Facebook's headquarters a long time ago because I got a couple of friends that work there. And they're like, oh, we have an arcade. And then all the new arcade machines are sit down machines. Like you sit down and play Street Fighter V against people. And it's just so weird to me because, you know, I'm so used to standing up and playing with the fight sticks. And now you just sit down next to each other. I'm like, oh, man, this is some, you know, really accessible shit. You can just sit here and play this shit all fucking day. Literally
accessible, yeah. Hey, guys, I actually played a PC game by a small developer, and I liked it. So it's called Slasher's Keep. It's I talked about it about 3 weeks ago when I bought it. I finally got around to playing it. Played for a couple hours today. It has so many of those keywords that just like are what I like. So roguelike, cell shaded, first person, procedurally generated, all dungeon crawler, all this shit. It's like exactly, it's right up my alley. I won't say it's fucking amazing. It's definitely clunky. It's in early access as a good ways to go. You get caught up on a lot of the geometry in the game. The bad guys get caught up on like a bucket and you could totally abuse it. It doesn't happen often, but often enough that I'm talking about it. Other than that, I think the game looks great. It has a lot of good little ideas. I'm having fun with it. I'm not going to be like, go out and fucking buy this right now. But take a look at it. It's called Slasher's Keep. I think a lot of people will have fun with this.
What's the price on it?
I believe I got it for like $14.
Okay, $14.
$14.99, yeah.
It's definitely got an interesting look.
Yeah, I love the way it looks.
But I see what you're saying. It's almost like the FOV looks weird or something. I don't know. Something seems a little off with it. The depth perception seems a little strange.
Yeah. And I will say the combat's a little clunky, but it has some things going for it. Like when you parry, you actually have to look for where the attack is coming from and parry in that direction time it. So you're looking for an overhand slash. It's a top left, right click at the right time. You could also, if you were just going to go, say you got it wrong and you went left and right clicked for the parry, you would take partial damage as opposed to a full damage from not parrying at all. Yeah. So I thought it was really, that part's really cool. They reuse a lot of assets. Like you fight so many of those guys, but, yeah, I'm having a good time.
Yeah, the game's out. It's not early access, right? Came out November 19th, 2020.
I thought it was early access because they just had a big update. No, I guess it is out, but they're still working on it. So that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Slasher's Keep.
See, that's why I thought, because update 0.999.999.9C. That's funny.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Is it time for listener questions?
It might be time for one time in Valheim.
Ooh. What is that?
It might be.
What is that, Christian?
I'm glad you asked. So since you just repeated what I said about Valheim before this episode, I thought it'd be interesting to tell a story from the server. It's going to be really impromptu. I'm going to need Emilio. Can you do like a bump 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 bump? Bum, bum? Like I'm going to need like some sort of sound effect. And I broke new ground on a new castle. Wedged tightly between the swamps, plains, and black forests, where creatures from all three biomes fight each other for dominance to mess our shit up. We spent a lot of time leveling the courtyard, and Cricket built these towers. It's coming along nicely, and then Stormy killed a serpent, and we feasted on its flesh in celebration. So on the server, if you're on our Discord server, you can see in our Vikings channel that Cricket Soldier has unlimited time, basically. And he's making a humongous castle. And it's coming along great. So I don't know if I'm going to do this weekly. Probably not. I don't know. It was like a 2 out of 5 segment idea. But yeah, come to the disc.
If you didn't just read it off of a fucking page and put some heart into it, eating a serpent as soon as you killed it would have sounded great, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it was all in the delivery. Well, I can work on it. It's fine.
Take it from me, dude. You don't need any delivery. I've been fucking it up for about 2 hours now.
Well, we still are hosting the Valheim server, and people are using it, and there is exciting times happening there. So if you are playing Valheim, and you probably are because everyone's playing that game right now, cruise on over to the Discord.
Nick, this is kind of your thing, no?
I think what it is, so not to be that guy that stabs the DLG community in the back, and this is something that was talked about on the Valheim Reddit and things like that. Valheim's one of those games that if someone makes a progress or a progression, they can share the progress extremely quick. So Valheim has a discovery system where if you like pick up tin, for example, you can see all the things that are made with tin, and then you can go kill a certain boss and things like that, and everything can be handed to you. And I'm trying to be very careful on who I play Valheim with, because I don't want to be in that situation where I'm like, oh, I'm decked out in the second best armor already.
You want to earn shit. You want to earn your own way.
Exactly. And so a couple of my other friends, they're going to be buying Valheim next week, because that's pay a week apparently or some shit like that. And we're going to be playing together. And so, yeah, so it's not that I don't want to play with the DLG community. It's just Valheim's inert problem of you can share the progress extremely easily.
Yeah, as soon as I got in, I got a bunch of, like, goblin armor. Like, I think that was what it was. But I didn't feel overpowered at all, dude. Like, I was getting my ass handed to me all the time. But,
Still trouble to get into.
Yeah, you getting in, Bobby? What's going on? It's like everybody's maybe in the pool peeing and calling you in, dude, beckoning you in.
Yeah, you're not making a strong case there with the pee analogy. All right, it's time for listener questions. Let's see what you guys got to say this week. First one is from Falcon K. He says, Rage 2 is free on Epic, so I grabbed it and may give it a shot one day. Are you guys going to try it out or take a pass?
I played it. I think I beat that game.
Yeah, you played it all the way through. I remember when it came out. Yeah. It wasn't like a must play for you, but you enjoyed it.
Yeah. It's fine. I'd rather play Borderlands, which is kind of like a very similar setting.
I picked it up while I was on Epic. They were giving two games away. I can't remember the other one, but Rage 2 was the big one.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I was totally mistaking this one with the a different one.
I played Rage 2 on PlayStation 4. So,
yeah, I like this game a lot, actually. You get superpowers throughout. Like I said a couple episodes ago, I like fluorescent stuff. Everything's painted pinks and fucking yellows in this game. I had a good time with this.
Yeah, the reviews on Steam are not that great. But
no, mixed.
Yeah, I don't know. I felt like people liked this one. There wasn't a lot of hype, you know, when they announced it, they're like, really, Rage 2, okay, you know, did we need a sequel, but, all right, but, yeah, I don't know, I might check this out at some point. I really haven't been playing a lot of single player games. Is this one co-op? I think it might have been.
I think it is.
Yeah, I think it might have had a co-op.
I played a little bit, I think, with Ray.
Yeah, I remember you and Ray played it. Yeah, it's a maybe for me, but I don't know. I'm not in a rush. Honestly, I always wanted to go back and complete the first Rage. I never beat that game. What about you, Nick, as you're muted there?
No, I said it already. I you know, you don't listen. I'm just kidding. No, I played it on PS4. I got like 80% of the way through it and was like, meh. I'm not going to finish it.
Yeah. Okay. All right, next question from Hingle McCringleberry. Do you have a favorite NPC in a game? Someone either funny or badass. One of my favorites is probably Shiogaroth in all Elder Scrolls games.
Did we both kind of laugh at the same time, Bobby, thinking about the cheese vendor?
I think that's the obvious.
Yeah.
The obvious answer is the cheese vendor.
Listen up, folks. Here it comes.
Be the big cheese on your block with a wheel of the good stuff.
I'm waiting.
No one has as many friends as the man with many cheeses. Not in the mood for cheese? That excuse has more holes than a slice of this fine Gorgon bear.
Oh, God.
He's amazing.
You would just hear that on repeat over and over again while you were in the main village in the first Divinity game. They took him out in the remaster. Yeah, they took him out and they replaced him with some weird voice actor. It's just, I don't know, man. I don't know who made the call.
You know that there's like a similar guy. He's not a cheese vendor, but he's the town crier in Divinity 2. And that's actually my answer. And like every fucking time you step in a town, he's just like, yay, 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 yay. Just like super fucking loud.
It's Alexander and it's hilarious. Was slain by seekers.
Yeah. And like, and the funniest thing is that you can't kill him normally. And there's a mod to be able to kill him. And it's so funny, man. I don't know. I think he's one of my favorite NPCs. One of my favorite NPCs as far as like all video games go is Ocelot. I guess you can call him an NPC. But that just be mean like a Metal Gear Solid fanboy. But yeah, hear ye. I definitely want to see him in the third game if it ever comes up.
And I've been playing a lot of Borderlands, so I gotta say Claptrap, just throughout, man, the comic relief, he's just consistently funny. I know they had to get rid of the fucking the voice actor because they had some dispute or whatever, but whoever's doing it now, it sounds exactly the same, and the writing is just right there.
Well, the whole story behind that was actually kind of messed up. The guy who voiced Claptrap, I can't remember what the whole story was, but I remember reading up a lot about that. And yeah, the guy kind of got screwed over. But how do you feel about Jack Black playing Claptrap in a movie?
I think that's pretty good, man. Oh, and speaking of that, just talking about fucking Jack, Handsome Jack. He was like one of the best villains ever written, I feel like, in a video game. I think it's a good, yeah, he'll do great. That's exactly the energy you need to bring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think.
What about that?
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to ask about the bonus question, but go ahead.
Oh, the bonus question is a hot dog a sandwich? Guess why not? It's a meat with two pieces of bread.
Yeah.
No, dude. What the fuck, Bobby?
What else would it be, dude?
Just a hot dog is a sandwich.
It's a hot dog.
It's a hot dog.
It's a sandwich.
It's a hot dog sandwich.
How do you say hot dog in Spanish?
You cut open the bun. There's not two pieces of bread. It's not a sandwich.
The Webster's definition of sandwich, an item of food consisting of two pieces of bread with meat, cheese, or other filling in between them, eaten as a light meal.
And it's not two pieces of bread. It's a baguette cut in half.
A baguette. You can cut it too much on accident, and it's two fucking pieces of bread.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know when I've ever made hot dogs at home and not fucked it up and made two pieces of bread.
Jesus.
It's a sandwich.
Okay. I guess tacos are sandwiches then. Whatever. Fine.
It's one tortilla shell, you piece of shit.
How dare you?
Oh, my God. All right. Next question comes from Leahy. When you pass away, what are you going to do with your massive game libraries? Will it be passed down as a family heirloom continuing to grow through the generations, or will it die with you?
It's up to Steam, really.
Well, you
like put get the legally,
password away.
Legally, like, they own it, right? We don't really own it.
Yeah.
Well, you're buying licenses to use the game.
Yeah.
And you...
And it license. Probably expires with your death.
I don't think it does. I mean, you could give it to somebody, just like the username and password,
the login,
the email. Yeah. Like,
can we get a Google search of what happens to your Steam library when you die?
Well, the same thing that happens to all your online stuff. Nothing. Like, they don't know that you died.
It just stays there. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a morbid topic that me and Leslie talked about. It's like, imagine being a YouTuber and like you don't really have like close family or anything, and you die. You're like, this person hasn't made content like a year. I wonder what happened to him. And you would never know.
What one of my good friends died, and his Steam library I have the account access to, and I played Civ 5 before I bought Civ 5. That's all I used it for. But it's still there. It's not going anywhere. You can log on at any time.
Can I buy it? I'll give you $5.
Oh, man. He's a pretty good guy. I think it's worth at least $10.
I sold a Steam account on eBay many years ago.
Should you be admitting any of this?
I don't know. It's been so long. What do they call that? It's past the point.
It. Statute of limitations.
Yeah, statute of limitations here. This is probably like 2007 or 8 or so. This is before there was just Steam was just littered with every single game out there. I must have sold it for like $20. There was like Team Fortress 2, you know, the orange box, basically, yeah. Maybe a few other games on there. And yeah, it was quite an easy process. I don't know if it would be different these days, but basically you just give the password. They change their, they change the email on it and you're done. So yeah, you're not supposed to do it, but
Mad faces over 9,000 criminal charges for selling game accounts. Is that you, Bobby?
No, that was a 24-year-old Polish man, apparently.
Oh.
But there must have been something else going on there. Like, I wasn't, like, reselling or trying to make a quick buck. Like, I had an extra Steam account. I made two Steam accounts because I used to have more than one computer in my room. So I made another Steam account for the other computer. So when my friends came over, they could play games with me.
That's not going to hold up in court, dude. You're going to be in trouble.
I think but, Bobby, right. Can you prove that you had friends at one point?
Yeah, we'll, I don't know. We'll see. And maybe Valve will come after me, but I think it'll be okay. But the point was that I think it would be pretty easy if you were not doing too well that you could pass on your Steam account. I don't know. I don't really care that much. I don't think anybody would want all that. Because when I die, that's going to be a while, dude.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to be a while.
Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, unless I die suddenly, then that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, maybe you should put your password on the drive or something for us.
A sticky note or something.
Just in case, dude. You live a fast and loose life, dude. You never know.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
You go port to port with no condoms, dude. I know the way you're living.
Oh, man.
No denial, by the way.
Bobby dies.
I'm not even going to respond to that. But I don't think... I'm trying to think of what I have of value, like that's password protected that I would need to pass on. Like my Steam account, I got a lot of games, but they're mostly crap. And the good games that I do have are the same ones that everyone else has. I'm picturing that in a will reading. And to my nephew, who always enjoyed video games, I believe.
Dude,
he's like, what the fuck is this shit? Valheim? What is this? 30 years old?
the account and password to the pizza video game library could be continued by whatever offspring you choose to have.
Yeah, that's true. Or someone could just steal all my screenshots off of Imgur. I'm sure it'll live on. I'm not too concerned for posterity here. Like, that's not a huge concern of mine. All right, next question. This one comes from Anime Lover. What video game would you turn into a drinking game? No response.
I'm gonna go with Among Us. Every time you get assassinated, or every time someone gets wrongly voted off, you take a drink.
There was a game, when Emilio comes back, he'll be able to tell me what it is, hopefully, but there's a game that actually incorporates drinking into the game. It's one of those party games, those party co-op games. Emilio, what was that game that actually says, like, take a shot if you lose, and it's the party game where everybody plays?
8-Bit Fiesta.
8-Bit Fiesta, which is actually a really good game.
Yeah, it's a good game, and you can set it to drink mode.
Yeah.
Which
I've never seen a game do that.
Yeah, it's great.
It's a great idea.
Yep.
Why try to force it? Why try to turn another game into a drinking game when you already got one? And this game, like, even without the whole, like, drinking game, the drinking mini game, there's a bunch of fun little mini games, and if you have enough people, this is a great one. How much is this game? Scroll down a little bit.
God, it's got to be cheap. Free to play.
Oh, it's free to play. It didn't used to be free to play, did it?
I don't know, man. Game packs? See, I got to buy all those game packs.
Oh, you can get more games.
I really want to support this game. This is what I wanted to bring up for the game nights, because almost everybody's drinking anyway, except for Father Bobby over here. And so it'd be really good, but I think it's 4 maximum.
Is it only 4?
I want to say.
I don't know. It's got 8 right in the title.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. I think you're right, though. I think we've ran into that problem. Where
but I do love this game. 1 to 4
players.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a great one.
And it's open to Steam Workshop. So people have made, like, if you can think of a mask to put on your character, there's one. There's like the Joker, Batman, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
5 out of 10, developer's mother. It looks nice.
All right. Any other ideas for drinking games?
No, man. That's all you need. 8-bit Fiesta. Because the only time you're going to be drinking with more than 4 people is on a game night. And we got to figure that out. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe that's something we should look into. I should look into.
Hmm.
Yeah. When we played D&D with Livingston, he has... So we have our life bar bubble. We have our... some other bubble. I don't know what it is. Blue. And then the green one is how many drinks we've had for the night. And if you've had enough drinks for that night, he might like alter the rules for you, depending on what's going on, which I think is a really cool mechanic.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, when are you coming back to D&D, Bobby? We have people waiting.
I don't know, man. I've got a pretty tight schedule here, and especially if we're doing the RP Pulsar, which I don't know. We've got a lot of people on there, like a lot. So
was this last Friday the first time?
No, we had to postpone, so it'll be next Friday, and I still have to do my character sheet.
Character sheet?
Yeah. You got to write a background for your character.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's going hard. Nick, I think you have a better chance of joining their Pulsar than you are them coming back to D&D.
I've had some other people ask to if someone else couldn't make it, that they want to take part in the DLG.
Yeah, if you want to fill D&D, my spot, so that's
we
fine.
Might put,
realistically,
we might put Dwarf Paladin on the bench.
That's literally his name, not his class. Well, it is, but his name's Dwarf Paladin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Capital it's honestly Eco. Looking like summer until I have free time. But I don't know. We'll see. All right, guys. I think that's a show. What's everyone playing next week?
Well, like I said, I think I'm going to start sacrificing sleep. Not much. Hopefully an hour a night. And I might end up with... currently, guys, I do this podcast with like 2 or 3 hours, which is up from like 1 hour, which is nice. But I'm hoping that I can get up to like 5 or 6 hours. So that'd be really nice. Who knows? The world is my oyster with that much time. I'll play a little more Slash Escape. I'm not going to really dive into it. I think it's a little too clunky to like really like, oh, this is my shit. I know I went on a stupid ass rant earlier, but it's because I'm so conflicted about Borderlands 3. Is my motivation spite? I don't know. Am I actually having fun? I really don't know. I think I am. So I kind of want to keep playing. So I might just keep playing that.
I'm going to be playing Ark and acting as the Sherpa for all the new people we're playing with. So.
Okay. Yeah. Quick shout out to Cricket Soldier, 16 months, coming in with the sub.
Damn.
Thank you very much, man. Awesome. That's so funny that you're playing Ark now, because I was like, maybe this will be the week I check out Rust. But as per usual.
I got the fucking server up, man. If you want to check it out, let's check it out. I don't care. I'll play whatever.
Know. Nick, do you know that Cricket has 3,000 hours in Ark?
Shit.
Yeah.
Cricket's coming to my server.
We got a lot of people that play a lot of Ark on our server. Of course, they're all playing Valheim now. Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm finding that on Fridays, I have a really solid chunk of time. Like, I've been getting in, like, just a big fat chunk of, like, 6 hours of gaming in on Friday. So,
oh, I wish.
That's really nice to be able to do, like just have that contiguous amount of time to dedicate to that. So, I don't know. I would love to find another co-op game, maybe even dip back into something classic, like a Left 4 Dead, but... I don't know. We'll see. I don't have a plan for this week.
Let's get crazy this week, guys. sorry about this episode, guys. I tried my best. What happened is we did a movie one before this. I started drinking on that one, and I'm drunk. So it hasn't happened in a while. But speaking for Bobby, Nick, a sniper, and myself, drunk, liquid, alcohol, titties. Bye. I'm drunk, dude. What do you want? I don't know. I'm not very good.
Crash landing there. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, I forgot to mention that one of our listeners, I was on Discord and he came in and he gave me like a full pitch for, what is it, Star Citizen. So, oh. I don't know. Maybe I'll check that out. We'll see.